Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Bergen County. This is John Insulin, a reporter for The Record. I cover county government, Bergen County government, and politics for the paper. And I'm here to welcome you to a very special edition of Record Talk Radio, our 100th episode, coming to you live this morning from Browns Point Park in beautiful West Milford, where it's a balmy 75 degrees out at the moment. And I've got quite a show lined up for you today. We've got everything from moths and exotic insects to data breaches to, well, what would this show be without politics, right? We have some local politics as well. So we'll be talking to my colleagues, Linda Moss, Scott Fallon, and Mary Jo Layton in that order. But first, I just wanted to call your attention to today's paper. There's some really great stories in the paper today that I really highly recommend you check out. Our colleague Marina Villanueva has a story about a student journalist at Northern Highlands and how a story she did prompted a policy change in terms of that her student publication, which has a great name, The Highland Fling. Guys, wouldn't you want to work for The Highland Fling?
Absolutely.
Anyway, so that's a good story. And then elsewhere in the paper, Chris Harris has a great story about a local environmentalist in Ridgewood who is dying of cancer and whose friends have raised money to let him live out the rest of his days in Maui, which seems like a great plan, if you ask me. If you have to go, you may as well go there. And then finally, our colleague John Brennan has an excellent story, excellent profile of the mayor of Atlantic City, who I did not realize is a gay Republican Don Bosco high school graduate who grew up in Palisades Park and who is convinced he can turn things around in that city despite the recent casino closures. So by all means, check out today's Record and read those stories. As for myself, I'll be covering a press conference later today where county officials intend to announce a partnership with Rutgers University. They are going to have some folks from the university study the operations of the county and do some data analysis to kind of figure out what's a more efficient way to run county government. So stay tuned for that in tomorrow's Record. But now let's turn to Linda Moss. Linda, who I've known for, in the interest of full disclosure, Linda, I've known back when you were a reporter covering courts for the Herald News. And, of course,
exactly
now
right.
You are my colleague here at The Record, where you've been covering. We started out as a business reporter covering commercial real estate, and now you are in the Meadowlands beat, covering, among other places, the town of Rutherford. And you had a pretty interesting story out of Rutherford this week. Can you tell us, our listeners, a little bit about it?
Yes, I mean, there's been a kind of bitter and unusual split in the Republican Party in town. And there is in the primary, you have a situation where Daphne Williams Fox, who is the granddaughter of the famed poet William Carlos Williams, is running for a mayoral Republican position on the ballot in November. She's running against the incumbent mayor, Joseph DeSalvo. And DeSalvo has the backing of the Republican Party in Bergen, Chairman Joe Uden. Williams does not. And she's running, you know, kind of as a renegade candidate against DeSalvo. But, you know, Rutherford has a, in addition to having the organized Republican party there, also has a Republican club, kind of a social club. And that club has endorsed Williams Fox, but not the incumbent mayor. So basically there's a split in the Republican Party in Rutherford.
Interesting.
And one of the big issues in town that Williams is kind of hanging her hat on is the future of the Williams Center, the Arts Center in Rutherford, which was once a beautiful venue, and now has become very run down. The main theater has been closed because of safety issues involving the ceiling, the roof, and townspeople are trying to revive it. Williams is trying to revive it, and her charge is that the incumbent council and mayor have not done enough to try and save that venue.
Interesting. I mean, are there distinct differences between the two of them in what they would do when it comes to the Williams Center? I mean, what different policies would they pursue?
Well, frankly, I have found that they are both rather, you know, fuzzy about what should be done. DeSalvo is basically pointing the finger at the county. The county owns the actual building of the Winter Center, Williams Center, but the land is owned by the borough. So the mayor has said that he has met with County Executive Tedesco, asking the county to work with the borough to figure out what to do with the venue, how to revive it. And he's basically, in a way, has said, till he hears back, and he says he has not heard back from Tedesco, the borough is really, there's nothing the borough can do. And Williams Fox, I interviewed her and didn't get a definitive plan from her about what should be done. I guess the best thing concrete thing she said is trying to find outside sources to fund a revival of the place, be it state grants, private money, the town partnering with a private entity, even perhaps looking for federal money, basically using her grandfather's name as kind of as a calling card to get federal money for the center. So that's she has a great history of fundraising in the town for the town library and et cetera. So that is her strong suit. So that's one of the suggestions she's made.
Right. Yeah. And for those of you listeners who are not up on modern poetry, I mean, William Carlos Williams is one of the giants of American modern poetry. I speak as somebody who grew up reading his work. And, of course, he wrote the epic poem Patterson and is still revered among poets in northern New Jersey and across the world, really. So, yes, yeah, she has that going for her.
Yes, and he was when I spoke to her, she tried to emphasize that he was a doctor first, as a pediatrician, as opposed to a poet first. And she said he literally delivered hundreds of babies during his career in Rutherford. And her father, who was also a physician, same thing, delivered, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of babies in the town. Her family has a history in Rutherford of, you know, over 100 years.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see if that family connection is a factor in this Republican primary.
Yes,
we'll watch for that. I should pass along. I was covering last night's freeholder meeting, and several of the Democratic freeholders were quite put out by the mayor's remarks. They took offense to his claim in your story that they were just paying lip service to the Williams Center. As you mentioned in your story, they held they took their meeting on the road recently and held it in Rutherford.
Yes.
But one of the freeholders, and this is probably where you and I will have to work together, one
yes.
of the freeholders, Steve Tinelli, mentioned that there is a meeting set up in about 3 weeks on what to do with this project. He and others on the board said part of the problem is it's complicated. There is no one, according to them at least, no one solution posing itself. Mm-hmm. There are people in different camps in Rutherford, some of whom want to see this facility saved and more investment in it, and some others who do not want to see that happen and maybe want to see it go to private development, and others in the third camp who don't want to see anything change. They want to leave things the way they are. So that will bear watching.
Yes, I'll have to touch base with you on that. We'll have to get together on that.
It's interesting, Linda, too, that, as you know, I mean, Westwood has its own dispute primary over an incumbent mayor as well. Mayor John Berkner, a Democrat, is facing a challenge from within his own party. How interesting it is that in New Jersey, everything is up for debate, including whether an incumbent gets to run for another term.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a rather bitter, dispute in Rutherford. It really has split the party.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting to me to see that Bob Udin, the chair of the Republican Party, has actually come out and endorsed the mayor, saying that he's an incumbent and has done a good job and deserves the endorsement. So,
yes,
so clearly
fact,
a lot.
Yeah. Now, Udin said that, you know, he said specifically that Williams Fox had come to him seeking his endorsement, and, you know, he picked the incumbent, DeSalvo, the mayor. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Linda, thanks for your time on this discussion, and I'm sure you and I will be working together on this story as it unfolds, and readers will be watching for that. Scott, turning to you now, it's a little noisy here. They're actually taking the weeds out of Greenwood Lake. You'll be glad to know, as an environmental reporter, that this work is going on here as we speak. Like, that's just a big dump truck pulling up, and the weed-eating machine is on the water this morning. Scott covers the environment for the Record, where he focuses on pollution and occasionally bugs. And it's the bugs that we're here to talk about today. The dump truck moves into place. And Scott, you'll be glad to know there actually are bugs in this park, too, that are all over the place. So.
New Jersey wildlife at its finest.
Yeah. All right. Bear with us, listeners, as this dump truck in the town of West Milford moves into place. Nothing like getting a live on the ground report here. All right, Scott, you had a fascinating story recently about a set of insects that seem to be heading our way here in northern New Jersey. Can you give us a briefing on what we can expect to see?
Yeah, you know, it's a time of year when you have gypsy moths are coming out, which have been a problem in New Jersey for decades. And while the state doesn't expect widespread defoliation like we had about 10 or so years ago, they expect it to increase, and you're going to have a lot more pockets where you will have gypsy moths on trees eating the leaves as their eggs hatch, and they are caterpillars. There are a few other concerns. There's a couple other critters that are making their way into New Jersey. There's the emerald ash borer beetle, which eats ash trees and can kill ash trees, and has killed millions of them, tens of millions of them across the United States. The first one was discovered in New Jersey last year in central New Jersey, and they may be migrating northward. They've also been spotted up in New York State in Orange County, so there's some concerns that those may migrate into our area, into northern Passaic, Bergen counties. And then finally, there is the spotted lanternfly, kind of this unwanted import from China that made its U.S. debut last year in Pennsylvania. And there's been a quarantine in Pennsylvania. There's been lots of concerns because this bug eats fruit trees and does eat some other type of wood, some other trees. And the thing about this is that it was spotted, one of them was spotted in a stone distributor in Pennsylvania, which ships stone to New Jersey. So the New Jersey Department of Agriculture, which oversees this, has been to a number of stone places in New Jersey to see if they have the spotted lanternfly has come into the state, but they haven't. They haven't spotted it at all.
And by the way, the lanternfly is kind of the most gorgeous insect I've ever seen. You had a prominent picture from the department in Pennsylvania, and they may be horrible for fruits, but they sure look great.
They're very, very pretty, very exotic looking. But, yeah, you don't want to see one in your neighborhood.
Yeah. This is a bug from China. How does a bug from China end up near a stone quarry in Pennsylvania? Did somebody bring one back as a sample or a pet?
Could have happened that way. Probably it happened because we are on the East Coast, or close to the East Coast in Pennsylvania's case, in which you have a lot of shipments coming in to our ports.
That's true.
And you will have these stowaways come aboard and get loose, and you end up with a problem.
Right. Yeah, and they are an invasive species, so clearly that is a problem. But you're right, we live in a global economy now, so the notion of stuff coming from China into Newark is not a foreign concept. What was interesting to me about the gypsy moth element of your story, Scott, was the fact that they've identified some places in northern New Jersey, my own town of West Milford, for one, but not all of them are going to be sprayed, because I gather it costs about $54. Is that what the per acre cost of treating these areas would be?
Yeah, aerial spraying costs about $54 an acre, and that's passed along to the towns. The state doesn't pick up the tab for that. So, you know, West Milford thought, the officials there thought that the price tag wasn't worth the risk that they may have from gypsy moths. They had about 100 and something acres defoliated, have moderate defoliation last year. And compared to previous years where they've had thousands of acres defoliated, they didn't think it was a big enough problem. The State Department of Agriculture thought it was big enough to do aerial spraying. It's the first time they're doing it since 2011 because they're seeing a bit of an upswing in gypsy moths. And gypsy moths are cyclical. Their population is cyclical. And sometimes they, you know, they believe that this is perhaps the start of an upswing. And the folks at the Department of Agriculture, you know, express some concerns, but they understand not every town is in the same financial state as others. But they said that, you know, if the lack of spraying, that they expect more gypsy moth defoliation in West Milford than they had last year. Will it be widespread? No, they don't anticipate that, but they do anticipate more than the 100 or so acres that were defoliated last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking as just somebody who lives here, I have noticed a caterpillar nest in one of the trees in my neighborhood that was not there last year. Is it going to be harder for towns to deal with this problem if the next year, if the number of acres increases? Will they end up having to spend more to do spraying then than they would have done this year?
Potentially. That could be the case next year. Could be the case for neighboring towns. I mean, these are moths. They do fly. They're more than just hop from tree to tree. They do have a range that extends for several miles. So what may be a problem in West Milford could be a problem in Mahwah, could be a problem in Ringwood, could be a problem in Oakland, Wanacue, or all of those surrounding towns.
Is the weather an ally or a hindrance with respect to the spread of these bugs this year? I mean, you had an interesting story in the paper as well about kind of a mini drought that's broken out. How much of a factor is the weather in the spread of these pests?
Yeah, the dry weather is actually helps them, because there's a fungus that naturally develops that the gypsy moth is very susceptible to. The problem is you need a lot of wet conditions for the fungus to grow and to have an effect. And so far we've had an extremely dry spring. We've gotten about 40% of the rainfall total that we normally get in the past 2 months. So that will, that combined with the lack of spraying, the experts say that they expect some more defoliation than we had last year.
It was interesting to read, though, that this is considered kind of a mini drought. I drive past the reservoirs every day. They certainly do look well stocked at the moment. Is the forecast, though, for a dry period just ahead of us?
Yeah, New Jersey, parts of New Jersey have already been declared under a moderate drought in Sussex and Warren counties, and that's not too far away from where you drive. So there is concern there. You know, we got a lot of snowfall this year, so you had a lot of the runoff from that replenish the reservoirs. But when you only get 40% of the rainfall that you usually get over the course of 2 months, that's concerning. And our neck of the woods in northern New Jersey and Birmingham State counties has been declared abnormally dry by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which is the next step towards being declared drought condition. Now, we've had, you know, a pretty big rainstorm last night, and we might have a few over the next few days. But that's not going to make up for the lack of rain. We really need a long soaking rain to make up for that, or at least a series of those. And that's not in the forecast, at least the immediate forecast.
Okay. Well, Scott, thanks for bringing us up to date on this interesting set of circumstances and these insects. For what it's worth, I've now got the lanternfly as the screensaver on my computer. I don't want to see one in my backyard, but I don't mind looking at it at work.
Hey, John, congratulations on your 100th episode. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Scott, and thanks for being on the program today. I have gotten a note from Mary Jo Layton. She is not feeling well today and will not be on the program, so listeners will have to catch up with her at some later point. And in closing, I'd just like to say thanks to all your listeners out there in Record Talk Radio land. It's been my pleasure to bring you this ongoing series of conversations with newsmakers and journalists over the last 4 years or so, and we'll continue to do so in the future. So stay listening, and, of course, keep reading the Record for all your Bergen County news. Till then.